Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The time right now is 10 minutes past 10. And so this morning, alhamdulillah, what a beautiful morning we have this morning. But we commence this morning's program with Monday Morning Focus. And our focus this morning is on how to improve our ability to focus and maintain attention. We will be focusing on 5 focus points to help you concentrate better. And actually, the word focus, F-O-C-U-S, will actually be able to help you remember these important tips, inshallah. So I'm going to be talking to you about those 5 very important points to remember. Now, that will be followed by Socially Speaking. Unfortunately, Mulana Muhammad Winkler, unfortunately, cannot join us this morning. He was out of the country, and I think he will be returning sometime this morning. But what I then will want to talk to you about is something called polishing the heart. Okay, of course it has something to do with zikr, or it has everything rather to do with zikr. What I want to talk to you about is in this little program called Polishing the Heart is what is actually meant by polishing the heart. Why do the heart become so rusty? Why do our hearts become rusty? And what happens when one neglects remembering Allah most of the time? I think that is so important for us to remember. And the last point that I want to talk to you about is, or just share with you, is there is no difference between the living and the dead except with the zikr of Allah. So that is something that we should always, you know, sometimes we walk around, we think we are alive, but if we actually dead, if we are not making zikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, maybe just share with you a few benefits of dhikr, and a little more if we have time. I would like to just share with you a few of these adkars, you know, all those dhikrs that we can read. Very simple, very common ones, and some of the benefits of these very common and easy dhikrs that we can do, inshallah. So that's up in the second segment of our program, inshallah. But for now, let's look at how to improve our ability to focus and maintain attention. Now, you know, many of us, I know I am one of them too, we lose our concentration and our focus very easily. You know, if something is not interesting enough to us, it just you just lose it. You don't concentrate and your mind just wanders into other things, so that's what I'm going to talk about. They say many of us lose our concentration and our focus very, very easily. Children especially can do that. You know, you can actually see children, and the thing that we eventually diagnose our children with is we'll say, oh, this child has got ADHD. He cannot concentrate. He doesn't have the ability to concentrate for too long. But adults too have that problem. You know, we cannot. Sometimes you just cannot. Now, in school, it's very important for teachers to make their lessons very interesting for children to actually be captured by what they say. Even if you're going for a talk or a function, or somebody's giving a talk there, and, the person just goes on and on and on. You know, you may listen to the first paragraph, the second paragraph, and the next best thing, you're in a totally other world. You're not even listening to the person. So you've lost concentration and you are not focusing. You know, it happens all the time. Now, but many of you, of course, will agree with us. It happens all the time. But how do we improve our ability to focus and maintain attention no matter what? Sometimes it's absolutely vital for you to be able to listen, understand, focus, and concentrate on what the person in front of you is saying or doing. So, yeah, it becomes very important. So what I'm going to do now, inshallah, is just to focus on 5 tips that can help you concentrate better, whether you're working in a busy office or whether you're studying at school or university, whether you are sitting in a meeting for that matter, or even if you are trying to finish a project. You know, many a times we just cannot complete what we are doing. We get distracted so easily. You start with something and you leave it, not even halfway. You just start with it and you leave it. Sometimes you want to do something, and you know, you just keep delaying and delaying and delaying. I will do it, but you just never get down to doing it. So let's try and see if these 5 points will actually help you. Now, the word focus, inshallah, F-O-C-U-S, will maybe help you to remember what to do when you do lose your focus or your concentration. Right, let's start off with the first one, F. And it says, F stands for five more rule. Now, there are two kinds of people. Those who have learned how to work through frustration and those who wish they had. Now, from now on, if you're in the middle of a task and you are tempted to give up, then just do five more. Now, let me explain to you what that means. For example, if you are reading a book, so you come to the end of the book, not even the end of the book, but you've started reading the book and there your concentration goes. So what do? You read, you do this now. That's the first point with me mentioning to you today is five more. Whatever you do, just do five more. And what does that mean? Now, you're reading this book, so you come to, that's it, I can't go further. Push yourself a little and say, I'm going to read five more pages. Finish five more, perhaps, maths problems. You're busy doing, studying for your maths paper. So you come to a certain time, a certain place, and you say, well, that's it. I can't do it anymore. But push yourself a little and say, just do five more of whatever I'm doing. If it's the maths problem for that matter, then do five more problems. Your little kids out there, if they're doing sentences for that matter, ask them just to, okay, well, with kids, it's a little, you can't expect them to do so many, but you can just ask them to do a few more, one or two more sentences. Or work for 5 more minutes, you know. If you're doing a workout, you're doing your exercises and you're counting, okay, I'm doing so many push-ups, you come to a certain, and you just stop there. Every day you just do 10 push-ups and you stop there. But you need to go forward. You can't just stop at 10 or every day. So make yourself do 5 more. So just, I'm calling it 5 more, but you don't really have to just do 5. Do 1 extra. Do 2 extra the next day. Do another one the next day. Now, just as athletes build their physical stamina by pushing past the point of exhaustion, you can actually build mental stamina by pushing past the point of frustration. So you can do it. So you are training your mind to do a little more every day. Just as runners get their second wind by not giving up when their body initially protests, you can get your second mind. You know, the same way, by not giving up when your willpower initially protests. So, you know, no matter how you feel, I'm not, I don't want to do it. But just give yourself and push yourself a little further every day. Continuing to concentrate when your brain is tired is the key to stretching your attention span and building mental endurance. The same way athletes do it, you can actually do it. You know, they do it to their bodies, so you can actually do it to your mind. So that's the first point. 5 more rule. Remember that. F stands for the 5 more rule in the word focus. Then we go to the next letter, which is O, and it stands for one thing at a time. Samuel Goldwyn said, if I look confused, it's because I'm thinking. Are you perhaps feeling, you know, that kind of scatterbrained? Overcome perpetual preoccupation with this plan. Make your mind a deal. It can, it really can't refuse. So you're actually going to make a deal with your mind. Yes, you won't believe it, but you can actually bribe your mind. It does. Your mind does take bribes. Instead of telling it not to worry about another lesser priority, which will cause your mind to think about the very thing it's not supposed to be thinking about, assign it a single task with a start and a stop time parameters. Okay? So this is what it means. For example, I will think about how to pay off that credit card debt when I get home tonight and have a chance to add up my bills. Right? So you have this problem in your head, but now think that, you know what I'm going to do is I'll think about that when I come home tonight. For now, for the next 30 minutes, let's say, for example, from about 1 o'clock to about 1:30, so that's about half an hour, I will give my complete focus to practicing this presentation. You have to give this presentation. So I'm not, so rather that I'm eloquent and articulate when pitching the proposal to my VIP clients. Or it can be anything. Maybe you have to do, study for that matter. Or you have to give a speech or something like that. So, you know what? The whole idea is to concentrate on one thing only. So the other things you can put away and say, look, like, for example, this. We said we'll do that later. But for now, I have to do this. And I have to concentrate on this particular, thing that I have to do now. Still can't get other concerns out of your head because, you know, we have 100 concerns in our heads. So what you need to do is then write them down on your to-do list so you're free to forget about them. If you actually write it down, you know, we have so many things to do. And if we try and remember everything, chances are we are going to forget them. We're going to forget something in the process. So the best thing to do is to actually write down, you know, those things that you need to do on your to-do list. You know, recording worrisome obligations means you don't have to use your brain as a reminder. So, you know, put it on that bulletin board, which means you can give your undivided attention to your top priority task. You can do what you have to do right now and put all these things aside. So you're concentrating on one thing at a time. So, you know, making those little notes and putting it on your board is actually a very good idea because now you are putting, all the other things out of your mind for that moment and you're concentrating on one thing. So that's the next one. Okay, so we go on to the next one, which is C in the word focus, and it says conquer procrastination. We all feel like not concentrating sometimes. But are you putting off a task or a project you're supposed to be working on? Now, if we're doing that, then you are actually, it forms a part of procrastination. It's amazing how long it takes to complete something we're not going to work on. Okay, so the next time you're about to postpone a responsibility, then ask yourself, do I have to do this? Do I want it done so it's not on my mind? Will it be any easier later? We tend to do this, you know. In your home for that matter, we need to clean up. Perhaps say we have to clean up the garage, and we keep on putting it off. And you know, I'll do it not today. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week when I'm in the mood. Sometimes you never get into that mood. But the thing is, it's not going to get easier. In fact, I think sometimes it becomes worse. It's not going to become easier later. It's still the thing you have to do, so you have to do it. Now, we can actually think about many things at once and operate quite efficiently this way. For example, imagine driving down a crowded highway while talking to a friend, fiddling with the radio, keeping an eye on the cars beside you, and at the same time watching for your exit sign. We do it. We can do a lot of things at the same time. What if you want to switch to telephoto focus? What if you have to prepare for a test and you need 100% concentration? Now, when we talk about using... Sorry, I think I've just missed out something. Let me just go back to that. So next time you're about to postpone a responsibility, then you ask yourself, you know, we're talking about these things that we want to do all the time and we keep postponing, and putting it off. So the next time you're about to postpone a responsibility, you need to ask these very important questions again. I'll just go through them again. Do you have to do this? Do I want you know, do I want it done so it's not on my mind? Will it be easier later? Now, these three questions can give you the incentive to mentally apply yourself because they bring you face to face with the fact that this task isn't going away. And delaying will only add to your guilt and make this, you know, this task occupy more of your mind and your time. So you're going to be thinking about it all the time instead of just getting down to doing it. Okay, so the next one that we did, and I just quickly, I think I just went into the next one before without realizing it. But it's you, the word you, and it's you means use your hands as blinkers. This is interesting, but I hope you understand what this is all about. But they say picture your mind as a camera and your eyes as an aperture. Now, the aperture is obviously, you know, the opening through which the light enters or it passes into the camera. So most of the time, our eyes are taking it all in. And our brain is in like a wide angle focus. So we can actually think about many things at once and operate quite efficiently this way. And that is what I mentioned earlier, is that you imagine yourself. We can do it, you know, driving down a crowded highway while we're talking to our friends. We are also at the same time fiddling with the radio, and we're keeping our eyes on the cars in front of us, on the cars behind us, on the side of us, and you're also watching out for the exit sign. So we can do all of that at the same time. But what if you want to switch to telephoto focus? What if you have to prepare for a test and you need 100% concentration? Now, this is what you need. This is what it means when you use your hands as blinkers. You cup your hands around your eyes so you have tunnel vision. It means you're just going to be looking. You've got nothing around you. You're removing all other whatever it is that is distracting you, other distractions. So that's called tunnel vision, and you are looking solely at your textbook. You are just looking at your textbook. Placing your hands on the side of your face blocks out surroundings, so they are literally out of sight and obviously out of mind. Think about the importance of those words. And if you want even better news, I don't know if you've ever heard about this, you know, the name Pavlov ring a bell. I'll explain to you in a little while very briefly what it is. Now, if you cup your hands around your eyes every time you want to switch from wide angle to telephoto focus, that physical ritual becomes a Pavlovian trigger. Now, what that actually means is they say Pavlovian conditioning is also known as classical conditioning. It's just basically a learning procedure or a process. It's actually, you know, the person by the name of Ivan Pavlov in the 20th century did an experiment on animals. You know, it's actually more about studying of the behavior of animals. Now, what he actually did, and of course the name comes from there, that this guy by the name of Pavlov, he used to ring the bell, feed the dog, ring the bell, feed the dog, until the dog started salivating as soon as he heard the sound of the bell. So, you see, it's a similar process. Now, using your hands as blinkers every time you want to narrow your focus teaches your brain to switch to one-track mind and concentrate on your command. So, you know, it's just like every time you do this particular movement, that is, you put your hands around your, you cup your hands around your eyes, you're cutting out everything around you, but you are only going to concentrate on that particular task that you are doing. So, it's called the Pavlovian trigger. I hope you understand it. But if you don't, then just check it up. It's very interesting. Okay, so that's the one. Use your hands as blinkers. Then the other one is S. See as if for the first or last time. Do you want to know how to be here and now and fully present instead of mindlessly rushing here, there, and everywhere? A person by the name of Frederick Frank said, when the eye wakes up to see again, it suddenly stops taking anything for granted. And Evelyn Underhill said, for lack of attention, a thousand forms of loveliness eludes us every day. Now, one should constantly relearn this lesson. For example, if you are giving your sons their perhaps nightly back rub, or your son for that matter, or your daughter for that matter, now although you are sitting right next to him or her, you might as well have been in the next country for that matter. You're there, but you are not there. You can perhaps be, your mind is somewhere else, thinking of maybe your early morning flight you need to take the next day, or wondering if I've packed all my things into my bags, or is my ticket there, is my purse there. You know, you have 110 things to be that you're thinking about. You're rubbing the back, but you are not there. Your little boy or girl is there lying next to you, but you are not with them. Suddenly, your unfocused eyes, fall upon your little daughter or your son, and you truly see them, as if you are looking at them for the very first time. You know, if just suddenly you're now looking at them and you realize, my God, I wasn't looking at them all the time. I was rubbing their back, but I wasn't there at all. Immediately, you are flooded with a sense of gratitude for your healthy, thriving little boy or your thriving little daughter. You feel so blessed to have been gifted with such a wonderful child. In an instant, you go from being absent-minded to being filled with a sense of awe and appreciation for his or her presence in your life. So, the next time your mind is a million miles away, simply look around you and really, see your surroundings. Study that exquisite flower in the vase. Get up close to a beautiful painting on the wall and marvel at the artist's craftsmanship. You know, we have these beautiful frames in our homes. Do we ever look at it? I don't think so. When it's just new, you look at them and you appreciate it. But after that, it's just there. You don't even look at it anymore. But, learn to actually appreciate the beauty around us. Learn to appreciate the people around you. So, for example, if you're looking at that picture, then lean in and really look at the picture for that matter. Or, even your loved one for that matter, don't take them for granted. This will make your world come alive in your mind's eye. Now, there's many people that have said things about, concentration. I'll just go through some of them quickly before we come to the end of the segment, though. M.O. Phillips says that I used to think the human brain was the most fascinating part of the body, and then I realized what is telling me that. Then there's a person by the name of Milton Berle. He said, I'm getting so absent-minded and forgetful. Sometimes in the middle of the sentence, I don't know what to say. You're not even thinking of what to say. And Leonardo da Vinci, I'm sure you're all very familiar with him, he said that iron rusts from disuse, stagnant water loses its purity, and in cold weather becomes frozen. Even so does inaction sap the vigors of the mind. And Jos Ortega says that tell me what you pay attention and I will tell you who you are. Rudyard Kipling says that I would go without shirt or shoes sooner than lose for a minute the two separate sides of my head. It's not that I don't want to listen to people. I very much want to listen to people. I just can't hear them over my talking. And this was said by Paula Poundstone. Well, listeners, I shared that. So the next time you start losing concentration, please try and remember the word focus and what it stands for. Hopefully, inshallah, it will bring you right back on track. inshallah. When we return, we'll be talking about polishing the heart. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. And like I said, unfortunately, Mulana could not join us today. He was out of the country, and I think he's just landed or he's just back. I'm not sure. So today, I'll be doing it all on my own, and I'm going to be talking about something very interesting, I think. It's called polishing the heart, and inshallah, I hope this will benefit all of us, inshallah, myself first. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah the Most High said in chapter 33, verse 41 in Surah Al-Azab, O you who believe, remember Allah and remember Him a lot. Also in Surah Al-Azab, in chapter 33, verse 35, Allah says, those men and women who remember Allah a lot. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 200, Allah says, so when you have finished the rites of your pilgrimage, then remember Allah as you remember your forefather or with more intense remembrance. Alhamdulillah, now these verses contain a command to remember Allah intensely and abundantly, since the worshipper is in dire need of remember Allah and cannot do without it, even for a twinkling of an eye. And why is this? Because every moment that a person does not spend in dhikr, or rather the remembrance of Allah, will not be of any benefit to him. The harm entailed in being neglectful of the dhikr of Allah is far greater than any benefits that can be gained. One of the arifin, that is those who are knowledgeable about Allah, said, if a person were to spend such and such number of years engaged in the dhikr of Allah, then he turns away from it for just a moment, what he will lose is far greater than whatever he has already gained. So that tells us how important it is for us to remember Allah continuously, all the time. And, you know, if we turn away from it, then, of course, we are the losers. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no time in which the son of Adam does not remember Allah in it, except that it will be a source of regret for him on the day of judgment. The people of paradise will not have any regrets except for those moments in which they were not engaged in dhikr or remembrance of Allah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said. So imagine that you, even though you may be in Jannah, inshallah, but you are still going to be regretting, why didn't I do more? Why didn't I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more? Then Mu'ad ibn Jabal also relates that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or asked rather, what action is the most beloved to Allah? And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, that you continue to keep your tongue moist with the zikr of Allah until you die. So zikr plays such an important role in our lives as Muslims, and also the fact that it is one of the most easiest of worships. You know, it is so easy to make dhikr. You can make it anytime, anywhere, any place. Even if you are lying down on the bed, just falling asleep, wanting to fall asleep, and you make dhikr all the time. So it is such an easy thing to do for us, but so many of us unfortunately neglect it. And I think the reason why we do it is that we don't know the importance of it. So hopefully, inshallah, I'm going to share this very important talk with you today, and hopefully that will make us all change, myself included. What is meant by polishing the heart? Now, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that for everything there is a polish, and the polish for the heart is the zikr of Allah. In Bayhaqi, it is related from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for everything there is a polish, and the polish for the heart is the zikr, that is the remembrance of Allah. There is nothing more potent in saving a person from the punishment of Allah than the zikr of Allah. It was also said that not even jihad in the path of Allah. And when he replied, not even if you were to continue striking with your sword until it breaks. So, now we know the importance and of making dhikr, or remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time is actually the polish that we're talking about. The polish for the heart is the zikr of Allah. Now, there's no doubt that hearts become rusty just as our copper and our silver and our brass ornaments, our coins become rusty. So the polish for this rust is the zikr of Allah. You know, this is because the zikr is like a polish which polishes the heart like a shiny mirror. And when the zikr is left, the rust returns, just like our, you know, ornaments that we have in our homes, especially those brass ornaments and those copper things, and even our silver for that matter. If you don't clean it, you will automatically notice how it becomes rusted, or it becomes black, it becomes, you know, dirty, and you need to clean it up again for it to look shiny and sparkling. And when it shines and it sparkles, it's absolutely beautiful. You know, when you can't believe that this ornaments that I had that were looking so down and ugly and dirty are now shining and sparkling like that. So the same with the heart. But when the zikr resumes, so if you stop making zikr, that happens to your heart. It becomes rusty. But when you start your zikr, alhamdulillah, then the heart is again polished, and the heart becomes rusty, they say, due to two things. And what is it? One is that you neglect remembering Allah, and the other one is when you commit sins. So those are the two reasons that your heart actually becomes rusty. And I'll just repeat, it's two things. It's committing guna or sins, and neglecting remembering Allah. That is your dhikr. So that is the two reasons. And how, or what can you do, you know, to change that, to polish your heart again? Now, again, just two very simple things, but very important things, and that is by seeking Allah's forgiveness and to make dhikr. So if you've sinned, then you need to ask Allah's forgiveness, and if you have stopped making zikr, then you need to start your zikr again. Now, whoever neglects remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most of the time, then his heart will become rusty in accordance with how neglectful the person is. And when this rust accumulates on the heart, then it is no longer, the heart doesn't recognize things as they really are. So the rust actually is covering the heart. So how can it recognize the things that the way it should be? It views falsehood as if it is the truth, and truth as if it is falsehood. So it becomes confused. This is because this rust darkens and it confuses the heart's perception, and so it is also unable to truly recognize things for what they really are. So, as the rust accumulates, the heart gets blackened. And as this happens, then the heart becomes stained with the rust, or this filthy rust, that is. And when this occurs, it corrupts the heart's perception and the recognition of things. So the heart then does not accept the truth, nor does it reject falsehood. And this is the greatest calamity that can strike the heart. Why? Being neglectful of dhikr And following the whims and the, you know, our own desires is a direct consequence of such a heart, which further extinguishes the heart's light and it blinds its vision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Kaf, chapter 18, verse 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and do not obey him whose heart we have made to be neglectful of our remembrance. One who follows his own whims and desires and whose affairs are furat, that means have gone beyond bounds and whose deeds have been lost. Okay. Now, so when a worshipper desires to follow another person, for example, you know, you see you're working in an office and you want to be like what your boss is, or you want to do what he wants you to do, or, you know, you want to follow another person, in other words, then let him see. This is what you need to look out for. Is this person from the people of dhikr? Or from the people who are negligent about remembering Allah? So, you know, if you see a person that actually is constantly in dhikr, then that is a person that remembers Allah all the time and is nearest to Allah all the time. So you just, if you know that this person is so near to Allah, and then you follow that person, alhamdulillah, you know you're going to be doing, you are on the right path. Does this person judge in accordance with his whims and his desires, or by the revelation? So if he judges by whims and desires, then he is actually from those people who are negligent, those whose affairs have gone beyond bounds, and those whose deeds are lost. That means those are the people of furat. Now, the term furat, I'll just briefly explain to you. You know, I think this alims could explain even better. Okay, I've mentioned what it means. It means that the affairs of the furat are those that have gone beyond bounds and those whose deeds have been lost. So I'll just take a short break now. When we return, inshallah, we will continue with this. And we'll also talk a little about the benefits of zikr, inshallah, just a few. And also share with you a few important zikrs, you know, simple but common ones, but important ones, inshallah, in a few moments. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to Socially Speaking. And I'm talking about polishing the heart, or, you know, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Okay, so I'm just going to quickly, you know, talk a little bit about still the qualities of a guide. And I did start with it, but now I want to just mention one thing, that the point is, that we are trying to make easier, that the one free from all imperfections, the Most High, has prohibited following all those who possess, you know, bad qualities or bad attributes. So it is absolutely essential that a person considers whether such attributes are found in perhaps his sheikh, or the person whose example he follows, or perhaps the person that he obeys. Now, if they are, then he should distance himself from such a person if they have those bad qualities. However, if it is found that the person is, in most cases, preoccupied with the dhikr of Allah, and, you know, he follows the sunnah, and his affairs do not exceed the limits, but rather he is judicious and resolute in his affairs. He is, you know, very sensible. He is very wise. And he is determined, is unwavered in his affairs. Then he should cling to him very firmly. Indeed, there is no difference between the living and the dead, except with the dhikr of Allah. Since our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the example of one who remembers Allah and someone who does not remember Allah is like the example between the living and the dead. So sometimes you may be walking around alive, but you actually are dead if you do not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I also want to share with you a little is some of the benefits of zikr. I mean, there's so many, but I'm just sharing a few with you. What we need to understand is that zikr of Allah is an act of worship. Now, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the best acts of worship, and it is also one of the easiest acts, Izzah. It is also strongly recommended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course the teachings of Islam also urges us to carry out these virtuous deeds. In fact, I did read it out in the beginning, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 152, Allah Ta'ala says that, therefore remember me by praying, glorifying, etc. I will remember you and be grateful to me for my countless favors on you, and never be ungrateful to me. And our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah the Most High said, I am as my slave of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me to himself, I remember him to myself. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than that. And if he seeks to draw nearer to me by a handspan, I draw nearer to him by a forearm's length. And if he comes to me by a forearm's length, I draw nearer to him by an arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, I come to him quickly. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 7, verse 405. Now, those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will draw closer to him, receive his countless and his everlasting mercy, favors and bounties, and the angels will pray for their forgiveness. Therefore, the blessed ones are those who will draw nearer to their Lord, and the wicked ones are those will keep away from remembering Allah. One can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. This is the way you can do it. You can remember Allah in your heart and by your tongue, but remembering him both in heart and by tongue simultaneously is the best way of his remembrance. This remembrance should be with good intention and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just quickly to share with you some of the benefits of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say among the many benefits of this virtuous act of worship are the following. Number one, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expels the shaitan, weakens his plots, and removes his whisperings from the heart of a Muslim. Number two, in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lies his satisfaction. It wipes out the worries and the sadness from one's heart. So if you have worries and you feel sad and you feel depressed, start your dhikr. Remembering Allah eases the way of achieving daily livelihoods. It also brings dignity, delightfulness and radiance to the life of a Muslim. It causes the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the spirit of Islam and the leading ethics of the religion, the basic of happiness and salvation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for everything a reason, and the main reason for obtaining His love is to remember Him continuously. Those who desire to gain such love should remember Him forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers those who remember Him, as he mentioned in his Holy Quran. Therefore, remember me by praying, glorifying, etc., and I will remember you. I mentioned that ayat earlier on. Such prestige and dignity is enough for a Muslim to be proud of, and it shows the greatness of this act. And those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sakina, the feeling of calmness and tranquility and happiness will descend on their heart. And in short, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the virtuous acts of worship through which one can achieve tranquility, rest and peace of mind and heart. It is also not possible for everyone to do voluntary worship regularly. So a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked an easy alternate that could bring him better reward. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised him to remember and to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, because it is easy and it is possible to do while doing anything. So like I mentioned earlier, it is one of the most easiest of worships to make dhikr. And just very quickly, we have a minute left, I think. I'm just going to share some important zikr. We're all very familiar with them. And the benefits that they are to do for every Muslim. One of them is to read the Quran, obviously. And the benefit is that you 10 rewards for every letter you read. Alhamdulillah, you know, reading the Quran all the time. Subhanallah, or Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. And it means glory to be to Allah and praise Him. And the benefit of this adhkar is a tree is planted for you in paradise. Alhamdulillah, in Jannah. Then the one, Alhamdulillah, it means all praise is to you, is for Allah. And the benefit of this one is that a reward on your scales of bad deeds and good deeds. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar means a glory to Allah, or praises for Allah. There is no deity worthy of worship besides Allah. Allah is great. And the benefits, obviously, is there's a lot. I don't have this one here. But anyway, the next one is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And there is no power except by Allah. The benefit, you enter through a special door in paradise, who says this zikr, you know, who says it more often, who says it a lot, in other words. Then the other one is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Subhanallah 33 times, and of course Allahu Akbar 34 times, which is equal to about, in total, 100. That means glory to Allah, praise be to Allah, and Allah is great. And that should be said before you go to bed and after every salah, and it gives you, you know, a lot of benefits. And then Astaghfirullah, I seek Allah's forgiveness, and the benefit of this one is protection from Allah's punishment. And of course, Ayatul Kursi, it's in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 255. Recite or read before you go to bed. And the benefits, alhamdulillah, is Allah sends a guardian angel to you, and no shaitan will come to you until morning. And those who read this after Asr, or rather, yeah, after any salah for that matter, will, inshallah, enter paradise. And la ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. The benefit of this zikr is doors of heaven open and keeps the major sins away, inshallah. Well, I hope, inshallah, that we will now go out of our way to make sure that we polish our hearts all the time. And if we now and again, you know, let go of it and just continue, you know, start all over again, inshallah, and Allah will guide us and Allah make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Well, listeners, that's it from me. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair from our engineer as well, and jazakallah to him for helping us out here every Monday morning. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.